Yeah, it's absolutely as black as night. But and when we get this cosmetic smoking as well, yeah, it simulates a real fire.
Right, okay.
What we'll do is we'll have two simulated casualties.
Yeah.
One will sit in this what we have like a simulated bedroom area here.
You can just, I mean, just with a torch, we can just about see through a doorway, a mattress on a bed, but. And without any light, it's just, yeah, you can't see a thing. It's
can't
pitch
see a
black.
Thing, we turn the light, our torches out. Okay. And once you get the smoke as well, obviously it increases. So it is very, very realistic. We'll then put one fireman, a simulated casualty there.
Right.
And then we'll put another one.
And we're walking back down the corridor. And again, there's a step there, which if we hadn't got torches on, I would not have seen. I would have gone flat on my face then.
That's right. And we'll put another casualty in here, as though they've got lost in the smoke for some reason. They may have been low on air and searching for a way out, and they've got themselves into a bit of a state, which could happen. Well, I mean, we hope it never will through our training, but we have to plan for that eventuality. Mm. If they do get into this place and they set off their distress signal units, which they will do later on this morning, mm-hmm. We then send teams in from the outside with spare cylinders to give them or replenish their stocks of air. So you'll actually see that this morning when we smoke the place up.
So when this is all smoked up, it's completely pitch black. This is the worst scenario that the officers could possibly face?
It's one of the worst scenarios, yeah. If you've got firefighters in there, low on air, lost or trapped, yes, it causes us a big concern. And we've really got to go in there with rescue equipment, which really is to replenish their air while we can get them out.
How often do they go through this sort of training?
In our brigade, there's a requirement to have it as a refresher at least once per year.
Right.
Once per year.
And is this something that the lads enjoy doing?
Well, yeah, they do actually, because they know it's looking after their own well-being, basically. So anything that's going to look after them, they're sort of, you know, friendly towards it.
And I suppose deep down, you know, it's not really a real situation.
That's right, but we try and make it as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
And you might find that when you do come in to watch the exercise, that there seems to be a lot of confusion. But we like to say it's organised chaos.
Right. Well, I can't wait. So we're going to smoke this out with cosmetic smoke.
That's right.
Right, which is similar to what? Where would we normally find this sort of cosmetic smoke?
Cosmetic smoke. You'll see it in the nightclubs and the pubs where onto the dance floor they blow this cosmetic smoke out. I think it used to be on Top of the Pops a few years ago.
Legs and Co. dancing to it.
That's right.
Right. There won't be any of that going on here, I can tell you.
No, there won't be.
So it's going to be just smoked out. Won't see it. Well, we can't hardly see a thing anyway.
No.
Walls painted black.
We're at the top of the building, right, which is on the second floor.
Yeah.
The rescuers will be outside the building on the ground floor, and they'll have to make their way in, not knowing where the people are. So they've got to try and ascertain where the missing people are, and they'll go towards the sound of the distress signal unit, or to where outside we'll make a recording. Before these guys have gone in, they'll have made a recording of exactly where they were going to go and search. So it's where they were last reported, we'll go and search first.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see that outside.
Presumably they will have their torches, although they won't be much use.
They'll have the torches, and we do let them use them, because they've constantly got to check their own gauge readings on their own air, because they've got to be conscious of themselves not running out of air. It's a constant battle of management of your air, really. Yeah.
And obviously don't make it two, being the main important. Now, again, we're on the second floor here, but I haven't got a clue where we are. I've got no idea. It is pitch black, apart from our torchlight, and again, there are steps going up and down, and if it weren't for the torches, I wouldn't have a clue
There's
where we are.
Rooms within rooms.
Another doorway opening here.
That's right, and everywhere is just like, when we get it full of smoke, it just becomes a maze, basically. And they've no way of remembering, you know, what they did the previous year.
Now, how often do you come in here yourself?
I'll come in here, like this week, for example. I'm working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I'm in here every day, morning and afternoon. So
so you have some rough idea of the layout of the building?
I've got exactly the idea of the layout
of
the building.
I'm sticking with you for this, all right.
That's right. With me being instructor in here, you do need to build up a good picture.
Yeah.
In the dark, being able to actually read your way around in the dark. It's all experience. It's built up with experience of working here.
Okay, right, we'll just make our way back downstairs and wait to bang my head. It's a good job I'm wearing a hard hat, you see. Bang my head on something there. Didn't know what that was.
That's right. And we're very conscious of health and safety at all times. And even if we're just like, as I'm showing you around here, we obviously put you in the protective clothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fully geared out, by the way, for this. I feel like a proper fireman today.
Yeah, with your hard hat and everything.
Oh, daylight. We can see daylight as we come down the stairs. Right, next time we go back into this building, into the smoke chamber at Hesel with the Humberside Fire Brigade, they'll be doing it for real. We'll be following them at the start of National Fire Safety Week.
I've lost my partner on the second floor. We are both low on air. Over.
Roger, could you give us a precise location? We are setting up emergency procedure.
Entered on a left-handed blade to the short vertical ladder, up the short vertical ladder, and continued on a left-handed layover. Over.
Right, thank you for that. We're committing men now to assist.
Let's receive, over.
So what we'll find is that the team who come in searching, they've not only got certain procedures to follow once they find the casualty, they have to actually find the casualty in this dense smoke. So there is certain search procedures that are taught during the course as well.
So how soon before the team actually will come into the building? The alarm's been raised.
The message was from the distressed wearer went straight to the BA and to the control officer. Who will then have told his team to don up, they'll have started up and certain procedures will be going through down there. They'll be carrying the equipment required to carry out the rescue.
Right.
So they'll now be entering the building, but of course they've got the thick smoke to be contended with.
Yes. Right, you can hear the smoke passing again in front of us, and as I speak a huge waft of smoke, I now can just about see the end of my torch, but yeah, it's hardly there now. The smoke is really, really getting thick.
Yeah, but you will also be, once we've managed to change its set to put this wearer back on an air supply, mm-hmm. It'll then be quite important for him to silence his distress signal unit.
Mm.
This will remove one of the obstacles to supporting teams. But if they can silence his BSU, then the other team, as well as searching the darkness, will have a sound for the second row that's down.
Because obviously at the moment both sounds are now sort of merging into one, aren't they? There's like one noise
exactly,
I can hear.
Yeah. And as you can hear now, it's quite disorientating in this noise where the noise is actually coming from. In the distance as well now, although the distress signal unit has been turned off, the whistle you can hear is a low air warning whistle.
Right.
That's to say that the wearer is now very, very low on air. That warning whistle, when it first sounds, tells us you've got roughly 10 minutes air supply left.
What their job is now to do is to change over his air supply.
Exactly.
Get him out of here as quickly as they can. In a real scenario, you've got to imagine it'd be hot in here. You know, the smoke we've got, but the heat would be intense. And there's also, I suppose, the dangers of the building being unsafe wherever they are.
Exactly, yeah. What they're doing now, are you going to find one casualty? Yeah, part of the team is changing his air supply. Another member of the team is searching the immediate area. And if we aren't careful, we'll come across us in a minute. So he's doing a full search of the area just to make sure he's not in another corner of this room. Yeah.
Now, they've obviously established that the second casualty isn't here. We may be, as observers, but we're not of any interest to them.
What you've got to remember is that it may seem cumbersome and we're getting passed by two and three people at a time. That is a full team. Mm. We've got to stay together and we've got to stay in contact with each other to control their safety. Now, this team are working their way around this full building using the walls alone. One of them will be in contact with the wall at all times, the other spreading out from the side of him, doing a thorough search in a, we call it a search pattern. There's a search pattern that they'll maintain to enable them to complete a search of the full room systematically. To enable the BA control officer to know what parts of the building have been searched, they'll have informed each separate team to search in a different way. We may have said, take a left-hand lay. What that will have meant is that every opening they come to on the left-hand side, they'll follow the wall on that left-hand lay.
Right.
Another team, you may well have said, you go on a right-hand lay. That way, he knows the team are just following each other around, and the full building will be searched, knowing that one's going in one direction and one's going in the opposite direction.
Yeah. The team have now decided that there was another casualty who has split up, and they've gone in search of him towards the other distressing unit.
Right,
which we can hear somewhere in the background.
Right, we can see the discarded set. That is an empty set.
Right.
It's no problem to anyone else because the distress signal unit has been isolated. So further teams coming in, not only is the noise no problem, but they can't sort of misinterpret that as being a set dumped or by a wearer who's in distress, because when they feel, they'll feel the tally.
Yeah.
They'll feel the tally in the distress signal unit and know that someone has come in and replaced that tally. So subsequent teams coming into search will not be misled by that.
So that will not be, in a way, a dummy decoy that's going to put them off from now on, but they'll know in a situation.
The tally I'm showing you now says to them, yes, someone has come in.
And we've checked that.
And we've checked that out. The team now report to the BA control officer and pass on the details of where this wearer was found, what they've actually done. So any subsequent teams going in don't have to research them same areas.